we come to the fourth Sunday in our sermon series, we come to Bethlehem. I simply want to call Bethlehem a place of grace. Bethlehem, a place of grace. Won't you pray with me? God, we celebrate the Word becoming flesh. Reminded today that it's not just what we read, but it is what we hope to experience. We pray that your word would become flesh, not just in mangers, but your word will become flesh in our lives. Your word would become flesh in our families. You said in your word that when the word goes out, it shall not come back void. So God, let it live and manifest in us. We pray that at this moment, nothing will go as planned, but everything according to your will and purpose. For God, this is our hope and prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A place of grace. There's a concept in movies called a flashback. A flashback is when a movie starts at a certain point and then takes the viewer back into the past because it's a way to better explain how certain actions led up to a particular point. Now, what it does is it gives context to the present, and it lets the viewer get a better understanding of how the characters arrived at this particular scene. So I want to use this framework to process how we look at Luke chapter 2. Because over the past few weeks, we have used Pastor's Rob book as the backdrop of how we have journeyed through different cities. We started off in Rome, which represented a place of longing. Then we moved to Jerusalem, which was a place of waiting. And then we were led to this seemingly insignificant city of Nazareth, reminding us that we can find God in simplicity. And we land today in Bethlehem. In our text, we learn that Caesar Augustus has ordered a census so that everyone could be accounted for so that they could pay their taxes. So as a result, families were required to register at their ancestral homes, and now Jesus' family must now travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Therefore, Bethlehem now becomes the central place in the narrative, and it becomes where it all happens. It's where all the drama happens. Out of all the cities in the time, God chooses Bethlehem for Christ to be born, which begs the question, out of all the cities God could have chosen, why Bethlehem? Why did faith lead them, and why does it lead us to Bethlehem? And to answer the question, let's flash back to the book of Ruth. When we return to the past, we see that Bethlehem was what they and we desperately needed. Bethlehem was simply a place of grace. Now, we may not always use the language to describe it, but everyone is searching for it and will need a Bethlehem at some point in their lives. When we look back at these verses, we find that three women have lost everything. This is how the book of Ruth starts off. Remember, we're having a flashback. Somebody say flashback. When we look at these previous verses, we find that three women have lost everything. Naomi, the eldest, the Jewish woman, and her two daughter-in-laws have all lost their husbands, and because they had no men to support them, this was in biblical times, they were relegated to a life of poverty. And for the eldest woman, Naomi, it meant that her bloodline would end. None of the men had any children, and so that was it for her. Everything that could have gone wrong did, and with nothing to show for it, Naomi, the eldest, the Jewish woman, decided to return to her home in Bethlehem, and one of her daughters, Ruth, a foreigner from the land of Moab, commits to staying by her side. Now, this decision would change their lives, and it would change the course of history, because there were many cities they could have gone, and yet life led them to Bethlehem. They could have stayed in Moab. They could have tried a different city. They could have tried a new city. But she decides to go back to Bethlehem. Remember, she's lost everything. Remember, she has nothing. She has no social standing and no hope for the future. And she has all but lost her faith. And yet she still decides to go where she needed and where she thought she needed to go. And for most people, this would have been the last place to go home with nothing to show for it. But she decides to go back to Bethlehem, and that, my friends, is grace. Because everyone needs a place where they can show up as a broken widow with nothing to offer. That's grace. Everyone needs a place where they can show up battered and bruised. That, my friends, is grace. Everyone needs a place where they can show up without shame, without having it all together. Everyone needs a place where they don't have to be perfect in order to be loved. Everyone needs a Bethlehem. In fact, most people want it. We just don't know where to find it. In fact, the author Philip Yancey writes a book called What's So Amazing About Grace. And in the book, one of the central claims is that people crave. Somebody say crave. It's people crave grace. But it's the backstory that drew my attention. In fact, the author was inspired to write the book about grace when a friend told him about meeting a homeless prostitute in Chicago who started crying, tears bawling down her eyes when she told him about the difficult things that she had to do in order to raise money for drugs. So Yancey's friend asked her if she ever tried getting help from a local church. I mean, this is Chicago. There's some great churches in Chicago. I mean, it's a logical question. You've got needs. You're in Chicago. Have you ever gone to a church in order to get your needs met? It's a logical question. To which the woman responded, "Why in the world would I ever go there? Because I'm already feeling bad about myself. They would just make me feel worse." Now, that's what she said. That's not what I'm saying. Right, because maybe she was on to something. She didn't use the language, but she was looking for Bethlehem. She was looking for a place to show up bruised and battered. She was looking for a place where she can show up without shame. She was looking for a place of grace, but out of a huge city like Chicago, didn't know where she could find it and knew she couldn't find it in church. And unfortunately, we live in a world where you don't have to search for closed minds or judgment. You can find that just about anywhere, because there are certain seasons of life. There are certain seasons of life where closed minds and judgment won't do, because we need something else. We need something more. In fact, there are certain seasons of our life when we don't need opinions. We don't need money. We don't need abundance. We are not in need of bigger homes or bigger bank accounts. We aren't after more prestige or notoriety. In fact, we don't even care about more stuff. Because in certain seasons, we just need to find a Bethlehem. We just need to find a place of grace. In fact, these two widows, they just needed grace. In fact, it's what we all need and what we all crave. I mean, did you know that leaders still need grace? Did you know that spouses still need grace? I just helped somebody. Did you know that kids still need grace? Adults still need grace. Parents, especially parents, they need grace. Grandparents, you still need grace. Hey, preachers and pastors still need grace. The best of marriages, I know you've been married for decades, but you still need grace. People you don't like, guess what they need? They need grace. Your coworkers, they need grace. The person that's having a bad day and takes their attitude out on you, they just need grace. The stranger that you meet on the street, they need grace. People that unknowingly hurt you need grace. Even people that you don't think deserve it, guess what they need? They need grace. They need Bethlehem. Because when we find grace, it opens up the possibility for alternate endings to narratives that we thought were already fixed. Because Bethlehem is where we find restoration and new life. I mean, think about it. When they arrive in Bethlehem, we find these words in Naomi coming from Ruth chapter 1, verse 20. This is what Naomi says when she goes back to Bethlehem. This is what she said. She says, listen, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. But watch the turn of events. Watch the turn of events. Because here's what we read in our text. As Naomi is now holding her grandchild from Ruth, who is now married to Boaz, it says, then the woman said to Naomi, remember how we started, but now in Ruth 4, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel, and he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons has borne him. Did you see the turn of events? When Ruth and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem, they had absolutely nothing. But in Bethlehem, they find new life, not only physically, but spiritually. Her faith is restored, and they get a second chance. They experience this unexplainable power of redemption, because what is possible for them in Bethlehem has to be possible for us. In fact, I recently watched a Netflix special performed by the actor, comedian, and singer Jamie Foxx. Now, I just want to warn you, if you go watch it, how do I put this? If you go watch it, I just want you to be ready. Somebody say, be ready. Because you heard about it in church, and then when you go home, you're going expecting some wholesome presentation, and it is, but it also has some very colorful language. And so remember, I told you, it's Jamie Foxx, comedian, actor, singer on Netflix. So if you go watch it, which I recommend you do, I just want you to be prepared. Somebody say, be prepared. You may recognize him from his Oscar-winning performances like Ray and Django Unchained, Law Abiding Citizen. And he was even the voice of Joe, the lead character in the Pixar movie Soul. And by most standards, he's been highly successful as a musician, as a comedian, as an actor. But several months ago, he suffered a serious illness that almost took his life, but they kept it all under wraps. I mean, TMZ was reporting about it. They even said that maybe he had a clone. I mean, people could only speculate what happened to him. And so he did an hour-long special detailing the events of what happened out of what turned out to be a stroke. He does an hour Netflix special about what happened to him. And it was supposed to be a comedy special. It was supposed to be a comedy special. And he does tell some jokes here and there. You're going to laugh a little bit. But for most of it, it's an hour-long testimony on Netflix about his faith and how God had given him a second chance after a sudden stroke. I mean, it's this hour-long special of vulnerability and transparency. And most times he can't even get through it because he starts crying and he gets choked up thinking about how God had brought them through this difficult moment in his life. So I wanted to show you a clip, but I wanted to show you a clip that wouldn't get me fired. And so I was able, I was... I was able to find something so that you could see the emotive response when he realizes and experiences this God of redemption and resurrection. And so this is what happens at the end of the hour-long special. Take a look.
Isn't it amazing? God gave me a second chance. So amazing. Somewhere God said, the little boy from Terrell, Texas, give him a second chance. So amazing. The angels on high smile down on me at Piedmont Hospital. Man, they solved the riddle. Second chance. So amazing. Never thought I'd be here in front of you. I love you, Dad. So amazing. Never thought I'd be here in front of you, Lord. Gotta thank him every day. God is good.
Have you ever wanted God to give you a second chance? Have you ever looked at an area of your life and wondered, can this be new again? You see, we don't always get the Netflix special, but we've always wondered, can this be restored? Can this be redeemed? In fact, here's what I've learned about the new life in Bethlehem is that grace, and hear me, grace does not always afford us the opportunity to recover all that was lost. Hear me, grace does not always afford us the opportunity to recover all that was lost, because second chances are not always defined by us revisiting the previous experiences or opportunities that we used to have. However, God gives us the opportunity to experience the newness of life that is possible after the loss. It gives us the chance to experience a new life beyond the narrative or the ending we thought was never possible. For these women, God gave them a second chance. Not the same life, but a new life where they could still find joy. That's redemption. A chance for Naomi to smile again. That's a second chance. That's new life. Because remember, she lost everything. But now she's smiling again. My church, that's redemption. It gave a woman like Ruth, a foreigner, another chance at being included, redeeming her place in society. It gave them both a chance at a new life with future and hope. Because that is the power of redemption and restoration that we find in Bethlehem. God does not restore all that was lost, but God restores us to a place where we can experience the newness that is present with us in the life in front of us. And that, my friends, is redemption and restoration. Because she came with nothing. These were two women who came, who had lost everything, and now they are holding up Obed, and Obed would become the father of Jesse, and Jesse would become the father of David. Grace is not always experienced in retrieving what is no longer, but finding joy in what can be. She didn't know it, and no one knew it at the time, but this would be more than a second chance, but the fulfillment of a prophecy, because Bethlehem is where the prophecy said that something great was to be born, the Savior of the world. In fact, Micah 5 and 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins from old, from ancient of times." When they arrived in Luke, it was not by accident. Out of all the other cities they could have stayed, it was not by accident. It was a sign of God's faithfulness and God staying true to the promise that through the line of David would come a different kind of king, a different kind of ruler who would be born in Bethlehem. But if you just looked at the events, it does not always seem that way. If you just looked at the past, it doesn't always appear that this is going to be part of a prophecy, that this is God's word being fulfilled in our lives. Because sometimes we are always curious as how is all this going to fit together? Let me say it like this, and I don't want you to judge me, especially after you watch the Netflix special, and I tell this story, you're going to have some colorful opinions, but remember, preachers and pastors need what? There you go. So every year we go to a holiday party, and it's through an organization called Jack and Jill that actually meet here once a month, I think. And it's a national organization that has local chapters. And the goal is to raise young African-American leaders. And we've been part of the group for a couple years now. And every year they have a holiday party. And at this holiday party, which has become a tradition, they serve a nice, hot mulled spice beverage. I mean, it is delicious. We talk about it every year, and in fact, sometimes they even choose the location of the party based on whether or not they can bring this hot mulled spice beverage to the location. I mean, it is that big of a deal. I'm not saying what kind of beverage it is. I'm not making any claims. I'm just saying it's good. And we enjoy it at the party. But after a few years, there's a woman who makes it every year. I just had to ask her, like, what do you put in this thing? Because we all crowd around it every year. Like what goes into this? And she said, I put a little of this, and I put a little of that. You know, she said, you know, I put about a half gallon of apple cider in it. And then I go on Amazon and buy this pack of mulled spice, and it has a little of that in it, and a little of this. It's got some cinnamon and some nutmeg and some vanilla and some molasses and a bunch of other stuff I don't normally use on my regular cooking shit. It got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I said, but what do you use as the base? Like, what kind of beverage do you use as the base? And At this time, we're all crowding around her, writing down notes, trying to figure out how we're going to make this for ourselves. And she said, you just have to go in the store and find the cheapest red. I told you, preachers need grace. She said, find the cheapest bottle of red wine that you can. And I said, no, this tastes too good. You know, I know the difference between the good. No. She said, listen, I think the same every year. And it doesn't matter what you use. Just put it all in. Put a little of this and a little of that. And I promise you, every year it all comes together. I put a little of this and a little of that. And every year it all comes together. I use a little of this and a little of that. And it all comes together. I think we approach our faith with the same curiosity. God, how do you take all of this and how is all of this going to come together in our lives? But only God can take a little of this and a little of that, and it all comes together on one night. And for the prophecy to come true, only God can take these disjointed and these disconnected moments and ingredients. Only God can take a little bit of hopelessness. Only God can take loss, a foreigner, an outsider who was gleaning in the right field, seen by the right person from a certain family, then take a young girl, a confused husband, a shaky story about a virgin birth. Only God can take a census and an inn with no room, and then have it all lead to Bethlehem so it all comes together. Only God can do all of that. So they didn't get there by accident. They didn't stumble upon this place of grace and new life by accident. It was the hand of God. Taking a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And every year on December 25th, we celebrate the fact that even when we don't always understand it, Ruth didn't understand it. Naomi didn't understand it. Mary didn't always understand it. Joseph didn't always understand it. But with a little of this and a little of that, in Bethlehem, they experienced grace. They experienced new life and the fulfillment of God's word in their lives. And the same experience they had at Bethlehem is the same experience that we are invited to celebrate each and every year. A God who offers grace, a God who offers redemption and new life and restoration, and the hope of God's promises. Because everybody craves it. Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. We just don't know where to find it. Won't you pray with me? God, we don't always have the words. We don't always have the words to articulate what we're searching for and what we're looking for in our lives. Sometimes it feels superficial, but I think some God underneath all of that, underneath all of the superficial wants and needs, there's a desire and a hunger and a thirst and a craving to just find a place that's filled with grace. And sometimes it seems too much to ask for. It seems like in a world filled with judgment and chaos, it seems grace is like a needle in a haystack. But when we think about your presence in our lives, when we think about a God that came to Bethlehem, we think about a God that is Emmanuel, that grace is all around us. And if grace is all around us, so is the possibility of new life and the fulfillment of your word. So, God, we thank you for leading us to Bethlehem. In your name we pray. Amen.